area, Georgia. It's actually a Swanee address. So I was thinking it was John's Creek, but.
It might be.
Appreciate being here. Certainly appreciate Brother Marty. We hope that you'll, if you have the opportunity in just a couple of weeks, to come be with us at Bethany as we celebrate our communion meeting. Lord willing, Elder Ronald Lawrence and Elder David Wise will be with us. We hope if you're in the Atlanta area or would like to come to, listen, and I know most of you are on the south side of Atlanta and you have to go to the other side of Atlanta, and I don't know what's easier. Brother David Crawford and Brother Martin Agnani were with us here last year for a meeting. I said, I don't know if it's easier to get here from south of Atlanta or from Kenya. Either way, I'm glad both of them are here. Appreciate Brother Marty living to his word and taking some of our time here this morning. I like to have fun with him. I didn't mind him desiring to take time from me. In fact, I'm not sure he's not right. But I didn't appreciate you all amening that. Told Brother Donnie I got about five more I'm going to try to plug in here, Brother Marty, for you. This morning I would like to read two portions of Scripture found independently. First in Exodus chapter 14, and second in Numbers chapter 14. In Exodus chapter 14, you're going to see, in Numbers chapter 14, you're going to see an excellent representation of man's perspective. last night, in the messages that we heard, and in messages that I hear across time, and across places, and across people, here's what I hear. Things are hard. You can amen that. Things are hard. C.S. Lewis once said, let us not begin by exaggerating the novelty of our condition. Bombs are raining down upon Britain, upon London. And he says, let us not begin by exaggerating the novelty of our condition. Things may be hard, but my friends, for the child of God, that's kind of the way that it goes. We don't get into this life because it's going to be easy. You don't keep going because you think it's going to be easy here. You keep going because there is coming a time where all of the hardships will be taken away. Amen. And we have perspective on that. And I'd like to look just a minute at man's typical kind of perspective. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 12, Israel has been released from their bondage by the way of God. God has intervened into time. God has intervened into hearts. God has intervened into the physical realm of our existence. And he has freed his people. Certainly Moses can go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. But it was God that delivered them from the bondage. And they wander out. They mosey on out. They begin their exodus from Egypt. And they come to a hard place. A rock. In a hard place, if you will. The sea is ahead and Pharaoh's army is behind. Now that's not a good place to be. There is no way to go that way and there is no way to go the other way. We're kind of in a, we're in, as a movie once proclaimed about 15 years ago, we're in a tight spot. Right? Here is the tight spot. And here is man's natural reaction. Now before we read that, I want to say to the young folks that are here, y'all listen close. And every one of us are children of God, or called to be children of God. Nevertheless, for the young folks, listen to me because things are going to be hard. Okay, now old folks, I want you to listen to me, and we'll quantify that. Brother Marty, here's number two. In July of 86, I was seven, okay? I love you, Marty. Y'all, we don't need to forget. And I'm going to throw myself in here with the old folks. We don't need to forget that the hardest thing that a child has ever been through is the hardest thing they've been through. Just because you've been through harder doesn't make it any less hard for the child. Y'all with me? Okay? The title, if you will, for this message is Better Things. Better Things. And I want to remind each and every one of us that it would be better that a man have a millstone hung around his neck and cast into the sea than to offend one of these my little ones. Okay? Better things. It's better that you just keep your mouth shut sometimes. Okay? And listen, I know you walked uphill both ways in the snow 10 miles carrying your sister on your back barefooted. And I'm not trying to offend y'all. I'm really not, because, you know, I think things are hard in my life too. But the reality is that the little girl that had her heart broken by the little boy, and that's the hardest time in her life, that's the hardest thing they've been through, and we need to be respectful of that. And we need to remember there was a time when simple things like that were hard for us too. Man's perspective, it's weird. It's weird. It's weird. It's odd. Odd's probably, it's strange. Especially considering the perfect nature in which God created man. The nature of man, the biology of man, I believe, changed at the sin in the garden. Yeah. The perspective of man then changes in the garden. And that perspective says, I know we were in bondage there, but we're in a tight spot, and it might have been better if we just stayed there. It might have been better if we just stayed in bondage. Listen to what Israel said. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone? Exodus chapter 14, verse 12, if you'd like to read along with me. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. We'd rather live and be in bondage than die and be free. Wow. Now, to Americans, that's kind of that's kind of an interesting statement, isn't it? Yeah. Doesn't seem right. Our founding father said, if you want bondage, if you want freedom and won't fight for it, you don't deserve freedom. Yeah. And I'm glad we have the freedom to be able to come together and gather here and worship today, to sing these songs, to say these prayers, to read these words, and here we are free to do that. But let me tell you, we're all still here in bondage to the flesh. Okay, we're all still here in bondage to the flesh. So man's perspective is, you know, at least we could live there. And it's gotten a little hard. I know we were all excited about this liberty. I know we were all excited about this freedom. I know that we've kind of gathered our possessions. We made our way out of Israel. We have seen God work in Egypt. We have seen God's work through you, Moses. We have seen God's work here thus far. But you've just led us here to our sure death. And there's just no way out. Lack faith. They just didn't see it. They couldn't see it. They wouldn't see it, even though they had seen it. And here they are. It's hard. And they want to go back. And they remind Moses. There they are murmuring. They remind Moses, you know, we had it kind of okay. Well, my friends, God doesn't desire for you to just kind of have it okay. He wants your joy to be full. Amen. And sometimes you got to empty out the hate and the all of the sin and all of the other things out of that glass to fill that glass with joy. Yeah, right. And he's going to empty them out. He's going to empty them out. Here they are, a million or so, maybe more, maybe less, but a lot of them, and they've all kind of come to the same human fleshly conclusion that it'd been better if we just stayed there. Been better if we just stayed there. Listen to God's perspective. Listen to God's perspective. And you're going to get a glimpse of the purpose of sometimes us just having to endure the hard. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled again in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden, and listen to that, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. There is a purpose of God that people knows that he is God. He says, I'm going to harden. They're in the wilderness. Pharaoh's going to say, they're in the wilderness. They're entrapped. We got them now. They're in a tight spot. And I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and Pharaoh's army is going to be sent after them. And let me tell you, through that, they will know that I am the Lord. Amen. They will know. And they did know. And they will forever know that God of Israel is the Lord, the Master, the one living and true God. The one that has all sovereignty over all affairs. My friends, he doesn't do everything that ever existed, but he can do anything his will desires to do. He says, they are going to know that I am. So y'all see the two perspectives here? Man's perspective is, you know, it'd be better for us if we were back there. If we had never left, Moses, we told you that. God's perspective is they're going to see. They are going to see in a time, in a place where all kinds of things are happening here, the greatest empire in the world at the time is going to see that I am the Lord. My friends, don't you think that the world needs to see that? Amen. And don't you think that God's plans are better than our plans? Amen. In Isaiah chapter 5, he says, my ways are not your ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. God's ways, what we consider to be better. Now that's an interesting term even of itself, isn't it? Better, by definition, says there's a scale to things. There's good, there's better, and there's best. Now you go somewhere, the best only exists to get you to buy the better, and that's okay. Or the better exists only to get you to buy the best. But when God says something is better, you can almost count that relative to man's flesh, it is going to be better. Relative to what man thinks is good, relative to what man thinks is light, relative to what man thinks is high and holy, that God's ways are always going to prove better. Amen. And his better was, they are going to see. They are going to see. So there they are, trapped between the sea and the army, and they said, been better if we'd stayed back in Egypt. Numbers chapter 14. Now they've made it through the sea. They've made it through the wilderness. They've made it to this line. And this line is, here is the wilderness. There is Canaan's land. There is the promised land. That is the land that Moses and God have told us that is our land and that we'll get to possess that land. They get there and they send scout troops in and they come back and they say there are giants in that land. There are giants in that land. If we go in there, we're going to die. It just ain't going to work. How are we going to make this things work? There are giants in that land. And man says, wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us now not just to not have left Egypt, but to go back to Egypt? Y'all, we need to reconsider this. It's getting hard. There are giants in that land. There's the wilderness behind us. Y'all see the tight spot again? There's just no way to go. Where do we go? It's hard. I just don't know. I certainly don't want to die. I don't want to go in there. Hey, what do y'all think we just return back to Egypt? It'd been better for, let's just pack up. It's been a nice voyage. It's been a nice trip. You know, God's shown us some things, and maybe we can take some of those things back. And after all, Egypt needs God too. And if we go back, we'll carry him with us, right? Well, you can justify any sort of behavior that you want to justify. But here they are, once again, in a tight spot. It gets hard, and they want to go back to Egypt. Grass is always greener, isn't it? Yeah. Be careful. That's over some field lines over there somewhere. And we go, how silly are they? How silly are they that they would even consider going away this God who is leading them somewhere? My friends, they're a lot like us. We hadn't seen that land yet. Sure, we've got an idea of what it might look like, what it might be like. But each and every one of us have considered from time to time, it's hard and it might just be easier for me if I go back. Now, I want us to stop right here. Again, as C.S. Lewis said, let's not exaggerate the novelty of our condition. Let's not begin by exaggerating the novelty of our condition. Y'all, I know it can be hard out there, but my friends, we are still highly blessed and favored.
Amen.
Every one of you went home and you laid in the bed last night. Every one of you covered up with a blanket last night. Every one of you had a pillow. Every one of you had a meal. Every one of you jumped in a car and drove not just 2 miles or 3 miles, but it's like 11 miles to Dothan. And you're going to drive home this afternoon. You have the opportunity to freely meet and worship my friends. I know things can be hard for you, but relative to the history of God's people right now, it is easy.
Yes, that is true.
Don't forget that. We can tell you we don't like the president. We can tell you we don't like the corporations, or we don't like the politics, or I don't like this, or I don't like that. But my friends, people have lost their lives for their faith. And here we are complaining about somebody said something ugly. And lose your perspective. God's given us this history for a reason. My friends, those times may come. And I don't want to tell you what you're going through right now isn't hard. Some of you are dealing with cancer in your own bodies or in your own families. Some of you have lost others recently or are expected to lose others here in the near future. And you can't imagine life without that person. My friends, I tell you, that's a hard thing. But you've got a friend right there with you that sticks closer than a brother. You've got someone that is guiding you through your wilderness. And he is telling you there is something over there that is better than what you have come from. And I know it's hard traveling that long, winding road to get there. But my friends, you are going to see something that is going to stick with you forever. And by forever, I mean eternity. Just wait on that. Keep your eyes focused on that. I know there are giants in those lands. I know that you're going to have to fight to hold on to it. My friends, we might have to fight to hold on to it. We may have to. I can almost assure you that you'll never have to fight, at least in our lifetimes, I pray, that you'll never have to fight as much as some of our brethren have. Those that were murdered, those that were martyred in the wilderness simply because they were rebaptizing according to the dictates of the Bible. Those that were preaching the gospel that they believed to be the true gospel of Jesus Christ and free salvation, and there they were preaching that, and they were murdered by those that were preaching works. My friends, there have been times, and those times may come, but don't lose perspective of how good God has been to you. The Lord has been so good to me. We can complain. Listen, I'm okay with listening to your complaining. If I walk away, just know I've had enough of your complaints. Then you'll know. But here they are. It's getting hard, and I mean really hard. Their lives at stake. They said, it'd be better for us to return to Egypt. God says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning of verse 7, he says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. A land of brooks of water, of fountains of depths, and spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou may diggest brass. When thou hast eaten and art full," listen to this. Here's the land. Experience the goodness of God's land. You know, we just arrived here last night. We weren't here Thursday. We weren't here yesterday morning. We've been here so far today, and I'd say this has been a good land. Amen. This has been an upper room. This has been a high place here in this part of the country and here in this realm. This has been a high place. We've experienced God's goodness. There's a land there for us that we can experience God's goodness. And when you have eaten and aren't full, then thou shalt bless the Lord God for the good land which he hath given thee. That's the purpose. God is going to bless you, and you ought to bless in return. And God is going to bless you so that you do bless in return. And that is the purpose. Not whether or not you felt good enough on the road there. Not whether or not the travel was easy. But getting there and experiencing God's goodness and saying, "God, thank you for all that you have done. God, thank you for your glory. Thank you for your holiness. And Lord, here we are to praise you. Let me ask you, have you tasted and it is good?" Yes. Bless the Lord. Amen. Remember, he said, "I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. They're going to go after them. And my honor will be through this activity. My honor will be through once again redeeming my people. Getting them out of the tight spot." Here, God is to be honored. Here, now that we have experienced it, God is going to be honored through the destruction of the enemies of God's people. Here, God is going to be blessed through the blessing of God's people. God is to be honored. God is to be blessed. In the New Testament, In the New Testament, we're going to see in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Listen, I used to hear, I don't hear it much anymore, what those people down the road say about us, old Baptists. My friends, I ain't never heard anybody say a whole lot about old Baptists. Maybe you did. I don't. Maybe that's because they don't know who we are. They used to, I guess. Maybe they don't know who we are. But listen to this. God's people are going to have the world say bad things about them.
Right.
Now listen, and y'all, I'm not sure we respond to that in the best way possible. We respond tit for tat, we tend to, right?
Yeah.
Quid pro quo, you offend me, my first response is to offend you, right? Listen to this. For it is better, remember we're talking about better things, of those that speak evil of you, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer from well-doing rather than for evil-doing.
Yeah.
That if you're going to suffer for anything, make it suffer for doing the right thing.
Yes.
And the right thing is expressing that fruit of the Spirit that exists in our lives.
Right.
By the way, I don't see a tit for tat in that. I see meekness, and I see peace, and I see joy, and I see long-suffering, and I see temperance, and I'm afraid that doesn't come out so often when people say bad things about us.
Yeah.
That's right. Meekness, and listen, meekness is not having a sword. Meekness is knowing when to sheathe that sword.
That's right, yeah.
When to put it away. He says it's better that you suffer for well-doing rather than for evil. It was the will of God that they inherit the land that God was going to bless them with. And it was better that they suffer what hardship that they would go through so that they might have peace in the land that God gives them. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. There's another better than. There's another better than. Remember, 1 Peter chapter 3, it's better. It's better you suffer for well. If the will of God be so, the will of God be so. We know it was the will of God to redeem them out of Egypt, to deliver them out of Egypt. Sometimes it's God's will for you just to endure, for His sake, the persecution around us.
Right.
It's the will of God that they inherit the land. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. There are those that were once a part of us. There are those that once knew the stuff that we think we know. There are those that once experienced this, but for some reason or another, are no longer they no longer have a desire for this thing. Listen to what Peter says about those in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Those that re-engage, those that want to go back to Egypt, if you will. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It'd be better for them if they'd just stayed in Egypt. And better for them. But God had a different will for His people than that. God had a different desire for them. God had a different place for them. God had freedom for them instead of bondage. He had redemption for them instead of the suffering of being there under the oppressive rule of Egypt. He had a place for them, and they were going to get there, even if they had to suffer to get there. Listen, it was man's will. It was Israel's will that once they got to the hard place, to return back to the polluted world of Egypt. It's just too hard for us out here. That's where we want to go. God says for them, it'd been better if they had never been on the journey at all. It'd been better for them had they not seen the miracles. It'd been better for them had they not seen the supernatural, infinite power of God intervene into the realm of our physical universe so that they might know, and they did know, at least at the time, that He was God. How much would you be willing to give up of your spiritual experience this morning? I hope none of it. I notice I didn't say your religious experience. Those two can often be contradictory one to another.
That's right.
But your spiritual experience, how much of that are you willing to forsake and to let go and box up and to put in your attic and never see again just so that your life might be easier? My friend, you'll tell me, no, we don't want to do that this morning, but you're going to get out here on Monday and that might, and your mind might be changed. I don't want you to do that. Neither does God. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't go back to the bondage. Live in the liberty whereunto God has called you unto. And I know that liberty is going to be hard. Founding fathers of this country knew it was going to be hard. Founding fathers, John Adams once said that the Constitution is written for a moral and religious population and is wholly unsuitable to the governance of any other. Yeah. See, John Adams knew of the depravity of man. John Adams knew something had to constrain men's behavior. I know y'all want liberty, but y'all don't want absolute liberty. You don't want the freedom to follow your heart. That heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. What you do want is the freedom to live a godly, righteous life according to the dictates of the Word of God. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't go back to Egypt. I'm going to read you one more scripture. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 26. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the world of this flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I'm a strait betwixt two." Y'all see that? He's between the two hard places. The army's behind and the sea is ahead. The wilderness is behind and the giants are ahead. Here he is in a betwixt two places. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen. Let's just stop it there then. To be with Christ is far better. It's man's perspective. I don't know that it's necessarily a bad perspective, but it's not the correct perspective.
Right.
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Not for Paul, it's not. Because Christ has a better perspective for Paul.
Right.
There's something better. And that better is, I know you want to be with me and God bless you for that. I love you for that. You're doing the things that I ask you to do. You've been stoned. You've been tried. You've been trampled. You have experienced the worst that could be experienced for the sake of preaching the gospel, but it ain't time yet. You're going to have to experience some more. Why? Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul says, for me, it'd be better if I could just go be with Christ. But Christ says something better for me, and that is using me to bring joy into your life. The joy of the gospel, the joy of grace. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. That you might know, you might come to that line, that you might come to that hard place, and that you might have the joy of faith that says, I'm going forward. I don't want to go back to Egypt. I want to know Jesus more. Remember John in 1 John chapter 1 says we experienced him, we touched him, we saw him, we handled the word of life, and we write these things to you that your joy may be full.
Yeah.
That it may be full. My friends, for the child of God, you can go back to Egypt, but your joy will not be full.
That's right.
It's only going to be full if you follow in the steps that the Lord has laid out for you.
Yeah.
That your rejoicing, verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me, by my coming to you again. That you may rejoice in Jesus Christ. Not because of what I think I want is going to be better in this life. But because God thinks it's better for me to stay with you and to preach you the gospel. That you might rejoice in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.